the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at DaveDameshek.NFL.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 151 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Sheck. S-H-E-K. The football world a little quiet. The draft is done. Some free agents still out there. But a grand time, to be sure, for sports fans, as long as your sports universe includes basketball and hockey, because these are heady days. It's playoff time, after all. Let's talk about that, some NFL football, and the big blue marble at large with the man seated to my immediate right, as always, from NFL.com. Adam Rank, what's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure,
and speaking
sure.
of the poop, I understand this is Studio 66, and it's your rules, and I get all that. But there is a proper decorum for most people to where they don't cook, like, salmon or fish in a microwave.
Sure.
And if you're in a confined space, like, a podcast studio, for instance, is it couth to be eating salmon up here?
I like that you've used the – I mean, I don't – I know where you're going because I just enjoyed a delicious piece of grilled fish from the NFL commissary, but it's offset by the fact that you used couth. You hear a lot about uncouth. Very
yes.
rarely, though, do you hear about what is couth.
Yes.
So I like that, but I loved the salmon, so no apology coming. Keep on waiting. Deal with the stink, because it tasted good to me. Rank, you've been enjoying. I was on Adam Carolla's podcast, as I am every week, and you can dig that up at adamcarolla.com. I was talking about how great is it that the last channel button or previous button, whatever you want to call it, getting a lot of work, a lot of overtime work, not unlike these playoffs in the NBA and NHL, a lot of overtime. Are you sitting around watching both sports, toggling back and forth?
Yeah, we have a setup in our living room with two televisions, and the big screen last night had the Kings game on. The smaller screen had wrestling, which, of course, is something that I'm into. And I didn't go back to the Warriors game because it looked like they had pretty much finished them off.
On Monday night, yeah, it looked like the Warriors up 16. They were going to win that one. But, grand stuff in both pro hoops. We can agree the Warriors are done, right?
They have to be. I don't know
how you
rebound
from that. That was a soul-crushing loss on Monday night, I would think.
I was, and I'm torn on that, too, because the Golden State Warriors, they're a nice story. They're fun to watch, and for most of that game, they made the Spurs look like the old men that they are. But there's something about the San Francisco sports scene has been having too much success recently with the Giants winning 2 out of 3 World Series, 49ers going to the Super Bowl. I'm okay if the Warriors lose.
Yeah, I hear you. And it's a weird thing that Spurs team just continues. It's the oldest story going. But the fact that Spurs team, in spite of having dynamic players like Ginobili and especially Tony Parker, just nobody cares. Nobody hates them. Just
right.
They do not resonate in the least for sports fans. It's very strange.
They're like the NFL's version of the Ravens.
Well,
solid every year, but just unspectacular. There's no. It's not like I go out of my way.
Too much success for the Spurs. That's not a good comparison for them. All right, let's talk about that, though, because maybe we need an outsider's perspective on it. Hey, we like to talk to him about pro football. He loves to talk about the Dolphins, and these are potentially heady days for him. We'll talk about it. But first, let's say hello to him all the way from across the Atlantic Ocean. From London, England, it's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. It's the beginning of the off season. I think people who follow football assume that NFL.com kind of sleeps between February and September. But I actually I said that yesterday or Monday of this week was the first day of the NFL off season.
Isn't that funny? Because I heard someone describe I heard a talking head describe it as football season has arrived because mini camps are underway.
There you go. So it's only like a 4-day off season.
But is it too much? Is it getting to be too much that football season is always up and running?
Too much for who?
I don't know. I heard some people talk about football fatigue. When we were all in New York a week or two ago, I heard some talk that maybe there's a little bit of pro football fatigue, that it never dies down and they need to relax.
I don't know. I think people, like, you go through the season, obviously people love watching the games and the playoffs. You know, if you had any fatigue of watching games, and the playoffs are certainly going to put an end to that. Then you have free agency, which is a whole different beast, and it's exciting to see what happens with players. Same with draft. Your team, you're focused on what they might do in the draft, how they're building for the next year. I don't think anyone really could be fatigued by rookie minicamps.
And speaking of the free agents, there are still some big names out there. I want to talk about those in a second. Also, our pal from around the league, Dan Hanzus, who's not here to face the music, but he put up on NFL.com a list of his 32, 1 through 32, running backs in the NFL. And I don't mind telling you, it's outrageous. And I want to get into that. But really quickly, Handsome, your thoughts. You're a Dolphins fan. You took to Dan Marino when you were a lad over there in England. You gravitated to him. He was the biggest star at the time. It makes sense. But now, the Miami Dolphins, they're having trouble with their stadium deal. And, of course, anytime that sort of thing goes on, the speculation immediately then goes to, well, maybe that team will move to L.A., something that the team, I know, it's just they're not going to ever leave Miami. But that's part of what they do. The team sort of insinuates, we could leave.
Wait, hold. Why would they never leave Miami?
I suppose they could. All bets are off when the Cleveland Browns can leave Cleveland. The Dolphins, aren't they ultimately going to stay? And they're going to figure out a stadium deal for them there.
You think?
It would be interesting. Imagine if you... I think Miami isn't the... I think it's arguably the worst sports town of major cities in America. It's really bad. Mm-hmm. No one goes to Marlins games. Dolphins have a hard time drawing. That is SEC country. Or ACC country, more accurately. But either way, I think the Heat have their fan base as long as they're good. But it's not a great sports town. But if the Marlins, because they get that, they sucker in the taxpayers to pay for that stadium, if that then costs, now they're cynical, so they're not going to chip in on the Dolphins stadium, that would be a sad irony for those people.
I think that's exactly what happened.
Right.
I guess the issue is, though, that they were going to put it to vote. And what they did is they killed it before it could even get to a popular vote, whether this should be funded through taxes, which I think to me is a little weird. Like if all the public said, we're not doing this again, we just did this for the Marlins and we got killed on it, then I think that would be fair enough. But what they did is say, we're not even going to put this to vote, which is probably where it's a little unfair.
Right. And like I say, because of the cynicism from getting burned by the Marlins.
Right. But that cynicism came down to, you know, a handful of people rather than the entire population being allowed to have their say on it.
Same thing happened in San Diego, where the Padres got public funding for Petco Park, dismantled the team, and have been struggling ever since. And so now the Chargers are going to have a hard time ever getting a new stadium down there.
Yeah, it's crooked. But so the thing, at least potentially, I don't think it'll ever happen. But Handsome, how about this? You're raising your two little ones. Your elder child is a masculine one. And now as a father, you have to deal with what a lot of American fathers have to deal with if they leave their hometown. What, you know, you would want your child, you know, every father wants his son to root for the same team.
Right.
If the Dolphins moved to L.A. and you just had that ready made for you, you would officially be living the most charmed life of anybody I know.
Well, yeah.
The right thing escaping England and that dumb version of football in favor of our version.
Right. There's no argument there.
Shame on you for that.
Black Tie, the only producer at the NFL, who loudly and proudly announces at every turn that he likes soccer better than he likes the sport that employs him.
If he had his druthers, this entire podcast would be based on Stoke City.
Where's your dignity?
Why can't we send him over there?
Where's your loyalty, Black Tie?
Isn't there an EPL podcast he can be working on across
can
the
pond? Can we trade?
Well, yeah, we should do that. We should see if we could do, actually.
Our producer to be named later in our exchange.
What about that, though? Right as the boy becomes lucid, he's what, two, three? He's three now?
He's 3 years old.
He's three. So, a child probably starts to gravitate towards pro football round about seven.
I don't know. He's gravitated already. He likes pro football. He tackles me a lot of the time. and I think I said to you before, he has, and I'm slightly worried about it, he's becoming a fan of the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah,
based solely on the game Angry Birds.
Okay.
And he thinks that there's some relation between the Cardinals and Angry Birds. So he's kind of into them. I'm trying to steer him. I want to encourage his interest in the sport, but I'm trying to steer him clear of the Cardinals. I don't want to.
If only for to help him avoid the heartache.
Yeah, because then at the age of 7, when he is lucid and understands it, he could just go off it within 6 months when he realizes that the team essentially is not worth supporting anyway.
Yeah, that's so true. And as I've said before, and I'll say again, I feel like it's a form of emotional child abuse for me from 3,000 miles away from my hometown of Pittsburgh. It's one thing to say to my little boy, Jean-Claude Van Damischek, oh, you're a Steelers fan or you don't get to watch pro football. That's understandable, I feel.
Yes.
What is not, though, is saying you must be a Pirates fan.
Right.
That's nasty.
I think you've got to give him the option here with a local team.
Dodgers.
You can go Dodgers. Why not?
That's worse. Making him root for the Dodgers?
Oh,
he might as well have
a
root for the Pirates.
What, should he root for the Halos?
No, but he should root for the Pirates.
He likes the I'd like for him to be able to root for a team that gets to play relevant games into June.
Right. Okay.
Something the Halos haven't done in the last couple.
You realize the Dodgers are in last place in their
division. I don't care. What do I care about the Dodgers? What do I care about either one of those teams? I'm talking about your Halos.
But you guys besmirching the Cardinals. You know what? I'm going to say right now, the Cardinals just moved up a little bit in fan free agency.
Yes. As the fan free agent Adam Rank here on the podcast continues to search for a new team, you made some headway in Radio City Music Hall with Calais Campbell of those Arizona Cardinals, didn't you?
We chatted again. He came down here for a visit.
He's trying to win you.
He
like
is.
A recruit. You're like a recruit. You're on a perpetual recruiting tour.
Yeah, I was sitting there, and he came in here to the NFL Network studios. We had a good time. He gave me a sales pitch, and usually these guys will leave, and they won't think twice about it. They come through here. We do something called the car wash, where they're on all these different shows and doing all sorts of things. But he did corner me in Radio City Music Hall, and I was filling out a form for him, like, because he's promoting the United Way and signing up to be a sponsor, and it asked you for your favorite team, and I left it blank. And he noticed that, and he said, "Oh, I thought I had you locked into the Cardinals."
Okay, that's good.
And I'm like, "No, not yet."
That's the human touch.
Yes.
I like that. He's going the extra mile to win you over. I like that. Yes. Rank is out there ever since the Rams abandoned him and the Los Angeles County, or I guess Southern California. Mm-hmm. You've been on the look, but now you've officially decided that 2013 is your year to fully embrace a new team. You're out there to be had by about 26 teams.
Yes.
You've ruled out a few for natural rivalry reasons as a childhood Rams fan, and I've forbidden you from being a Steelers fan.
Which elevates him a little bit, but yeah.
You can elevate whatever
you
want.
It would never
stand. I would use every ounce of influence that I have to blackball you from the sport. That's what I would do. You're not allowed to root for the Steelers.
Steelers moving up the charts.
Yeah. All right, keep
every
it,
time
keep
you
it
do
up.
That, they move up. I think you need to use reverse psychology here, Dave.
Like you my should. Mother used to tell my sisters, don't laugh at him because it only encourages
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If the Dolphins are likely to come to Los Angeles, though, would you be interested in perhaps jumping on that bandwagon?
Very
especially
much so.
A team on the rise as well?
Very much so.
By the way, the Dolphins are going to the playoffs. I'm happy to tell you, Handsome Hank.
I'm also feeling that way as well.
I sincerely think that they are going. And I'll tell you, here's the other wild card team. The one that most people are not looking at, the Tennessee Titans. That's who else is going to the playoffs. The Colts are going to regress a little bit. Mm-hmm. The Jaguars will be interesting, more interesting than they've been in the last couple of years. But the Titans, with Jake Locker and a rebuilt offensive line, Chris Johnson, and those pass catchers that they have, the defense is good. Now they go get John Abraham. It would appear at the time of this recording he's not locked up yet, but it looks like that's going to happen. And they continue to express interest in Dwight Freeney. They already have some pieces on defense. I think that team, very quietly. But let's talk about the other free agents out there. Where do you think, we heard Dwight Freeney possibly to Pittsburgh, maybe to New England. You heard those rumors. Marcus Trufant locked up now by the Jags, so he's off the market. Abraham's still out there. Tyson Klabo. What do we think about that one going to the Dolphins?
Very exciting. Yeah, nice to have a right tackle locked in. What it also means is that it looks like Jonathan Martin will be their left tackle going into the season.
And Jeff Ireland, you know, he's gotten a great deal of praise. At least, you know, what did our pal Hanzus call him? He likened him to Scarface. He's going out like Scarface. I like that. He is kind of riverboat gambling, you know, kind of thing. But I don't think that necessarily they've been all sound personnel moves, but he's really going all in. He's pushing it all into the center of the table there. If he's going down, he's going out in a blaze of glory. But I still don't think that he would just say, yes, let's do all this, that, and the other, but Jonathan Martin can't play left tackle. I think they must have some faith in that. True?
Exactly. Yes, I believe they probably do.
And hear me again. Ryan Tannehill has a big 2013. I don't know in fantasy, but I think in real time.
I hope so. The one thing you always worry about, you know, he flew under the radar a little bit last year with the Luck and RG3 and Russell Wilson, those guys having great rookie seasons. I think in any other year, his rookie season would have been considered a pretty good one. You always worry about those players having, you know, going into their second season and maybe falling off a little bit. But he's got a lot more weapons around him, so hopefully that doesn't happen.
Are they still going with Lamar Miller? Is that who they're –
They still have Daniel Thomas.
Yeah,
he's a nice banger.
I tell you, they like the rookie they draw. I think he was fifth round out of the University of Florida, Mike Gillisley. Started for the Gators last year. I think they really like him. And
well, they must like Lamar Miller. They used a high-round
really
pick
like
on him
Lamar
just
Miller.
A year ago. They knew Reggie Bush was going to move on, so this seems exactly like what they were angling for. They knew Bush wasn't going to be back.
Right. I like him, too. Apparently, though, he's not one of the 32 best running backs in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. We're getting to that in a second. But real quick, I want to ask ask both of you this. Rank. Mm-hmm. Another pal of ours, Akbar Bajabiamila, of the two career NFL sacks, two more than you and I got in our NFL careers. Akbar, new piece up on NFL.com, says Tim Tebow deserves another shot as a backup. Mm-hmm. How say you?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Do you?
I don't understand it. I mean, Akbar raises an interesting point. Brady Quinn, you know, he's still in the league. And you look at some of the guys who are backups in the NFL right now, and you're like, Tim Tebow, I understand if some teams don't want the circus, and maybe he's going to need a year to cool off, but this is a guy that still went out. He won a couple of playoff games. He's won more playoff games for the Broncos than Peyton Manning did, mind you. Well, I don't understand, especially if you have one of those run-first quarterbacks, like Russell, if you have Russell Wilson, RG3, or anybody who like that, who runs that kind of offense, like, okay, well, our backup can run those plays if he has to go in a pinch. And that he's being overlooked, it's not baffling. I understand why it is. It's because, you know, he's outspoken. We see it now.
I
all
do
the
not.
Time.
Nope, it is not stop. Because he's outspoken.
Stop it. It is exactly. That's why Chris Cluey. That's why Chris Cluey doesn't have a job anymore. Your buddy Brendan Iamadejo doesn't have a job anymore.
It.
Tim Tebow.
Is that really where? I was waiting. I was wondering if people were going to suggest that Chris Cluey, punter of the late of the Vikings, got cut because he's outspoken.
Oh, yeah.
About gay rights. You think Tim Tebow is no longer? No, he was a sideshow. It has nothing to do with what his opinions are on anything.
But that's the thing. Okay. Yes. If you bring in all that stuff to where these teams say this guy's more trouble than
but it's not
worth.
Fair, and people will seize on that. He's a good Christian, because I've read that and I've seen that. Hey, he's a good Christian, and teams don't want that, but it's okay. I've heard a lot of snark related to the Jason Collins thing. People sort of tying those two situations together. A man's allowed to be gay, but you're not allowed to be to talk about your religion. The world is upside down. I've heard that opinion. Absolutely heard that opinion out there.
That's ridiculous.
It's not too far from what you're saying. You're saying Tim Tebow's opinion, his worldview, is keeping him from being
that
on a team.
But that makes him a sideshow. That brings a circus atmosphere. So any team that signs him,
I don't think him being evangelical about his religion has anything to do with him not being on a team.
Why is he always in the news? Is it because of his religious beliefs or not?
Because of the improbable way that his team wins games in spite of the unorthodox throwing and the terrible statistics. They had a weird, magical run there. And to me, I agree with you and I agree with Akbar. Somebody should roll the dice on this guy. I wouldn't build my team around him. No. I wouldn't say he's our number. I wouldn't sign him tomorrow and announce him to be the front runner to start the season. But it is odd to me that no one wants to touch him, because like you say, he's won, his one home game, he has as many playoff victories as, for instance, let's say, Dieter Brock.
Dieter Brock time.
Thank you. Got that one. Nice and organic. Dieter Brock drop. That's true. They both have one career playoff victory. But anyway, Tim Tebow, he beats the Steelers. I know they were all hurt. All the Steelers are hurt. But the fact of the matter is he did.
Oh, wait, you're going to use that?
Yeah, I'm sorry that five of their starters were not on the field when that touchdown pass was thrown.
Hold the GD phone. When I tried to say that with the Lakers, you just, they're an old team, fella. And then you're so dismissive of it. And now you want to use it as an excuse for the Steelers losing to the Broncos? No.
No one forecast that Steelers team to be one of the great teams in NFL history. There was no expectation that Steelers team was going on a deep playoff run.
So what, you get yelled at? All of a sudden you're making a few dollars, now you can't get yelled at?
What was that?
What does that even mean?
What is that?
Lamar Woodley on a podcast complaining about yelling. You guys were yelling a bit too much. I'll let Lamar chime in.
He is supposed to be the podcast psychiatrist. He's supposed to help us with our mental health because he is getting his graduate degree in that field. Listen, given that we last saw Tim Tebow out on a field as a starting quarterback winning a game in Mile High City against the vaunted Steelers defense, impressive, and it's remarkable that in light of that he wouldn't get a shot with another team coming off of a crummy team where everybody who went under center looked lousy. There, the other guy, I'll give you another name because we've talked about Ryan Mallett and guys like that. What about Jimmy Clausen? Poor Jimmy Clausen. He was a high-round draft pick out of Notre Dame, highly considered. He's never gotten any shot whatsoever.
He's still the backup in Carolina. He hasn't. At least he hasn't hit the market, and I mean, he's not. Well, he's not going to. He hasn't.
So why doesn't somebody try? Somebody who's desperate for a QB. Why wouldn't the Cardinals or the Bills or teams that are in need of QBs have in the last two seasons or so, once Cam Newton breaks through, say, hey, what's it going to cost us? We'll give you a fifth round pick for this bum.
But I presume the Panthers value him enough as a backup quarterback to say, well, you can't have him for a fifth round pick. Give us something else.
I'd like to see. I feel bad for these guys.
Backup quarterbacks, in this day and age, especially with a starter like Cam Newton, you want to make sure you've got a pretty good one on the bench because, and I have no idea whether he actually is pretty good or not, but you want to make sure you think you have a pretty good one on the bench. Otherwise, who knows who's going to be starting half your games next season.
I forgot to mention, we have our pal Terrence Newman of the Cincinnati Bengals joining us in just a little bit here. So we'll,
is that an English accent that I heard?
Yeah, there he is. And and it was Handsome Hank's English accent you heard there, Terrence Newman. Meantime, though, all right, let's get into it here. Let's get into Hanzus's list. Oh, well, the last podcast, though, was Hanzus in on that one? We had a little discussion about colors and the food. The color that has the most good food associated with it. A spirited debate it was. Went in a lot of different directions. Kudos to you, Black Tie, for bringing that one up. I hope you have another one ready to go. We put it to a poll. It disgusts me to report that for a long time, green was in the lead.
Green was in the lead. Surprisingly, green was over red
and yellow and white. We didn't really give white its due, but white rice, fish, potatoes on the inside, bread on the inside, a lot of good stuff. Chicken, grilled chicken is white, I think is what you would call it. White was better than we gave it its due. Brown ended up making a charge and winning it, I'm glad to say, because that is the correct choice. Handsome, before we put a bow on it, would you like to weigh in here? Because you didn't get a chance to.
Well, no, I'm as well as occasionally being allowed to come on here, I'm a big fan of the podcast, so I listened to it, and I was entertained by the debate. I think brown is the obvious answer. I have one rule in life. It's the one that I live by most closely, which is never eat anything blue, so I'm glad that everyone agreed with that. To me, that's when I get up in the morning. Blue raspberry.
We looked it up. That is, in fact, true.
It's not actually. They're called blue because. And here's an example. There is something out there called a blueberry, but the reason that it's called blue is because blackberry was already taken. So it's not actually blue. If you look at it, it's a deep purple or even a darker.
I know that, but no.
Blue,
the issue is when it comes to candy. The candy makers of the world said we have cherry, strawberry, watermelon. Somebody has to step up here. and who's raspberry. Like, oh, let's make raspberry blue.
Well, it doesn't make any sense, and I won't eat it.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's very strange. And what was it about the flavor of raspberry? Isn't blueberry? If you gave me a choice of candy, would I rather have blueberry flavored candy or raspberry? I'll take blueberry. I don't really like the flavor of raspberry candy.
I don't really like raspberry.
Rank, how say you? You can only have one kind of candy, blueberry or raspberry, for the rest of your life.
Raspberry.
No, see, you're both wrong. It's blue. But anyway, that's another. So you agree with brown. Well, in England, they don't have any food that isn't brown. Is that true? All food is brown?
I think you could probably everything, once you stir it up a little bit, everything goes brown.
Black tie. Before we get into Hanzeus's cockamamie 32 running back list here, can you build upon? We were very excited about the very good question you generated. What color has the most good food associated with it? Can you now, am I pushing my luck by asking you to summon another good question?
Oh, please. It's not even a question.
It was a question.
Of course I can, but this is my issue. You put in the good work, and now they just want more. It's like, come on, guys.
How terrible. I know.
Awful. But just to go with the spirit of the holiday of last week, Cinco de Mayo, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Which do you guys prefer, Cinco de Mayo, or what's better to you guys, Cinco de Mayo or St. Patrick's Day?
So a holiday that is ethnic, it celebrates one ethnicity, one of the many colors in the American rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
Irish celebration versus Mexican celebration.
Yep.
I'm going to start with you, Adam Rank.
St. Patrick's Day has a lot of things going for it. I do like Irish whiskey. Sometimes it falls during March
Madness.
That too. So it's got that going. But you know what? I'm not Catholic, so I don't prefer it. And I like Cinco de Mayo. Food's better. Beer's better. Weather typically better.
I disagree, first of all. All right, go ahead.
Wait,
you can
food
make
is
point.
Not... Wait.
Food is better, I suppose, if you said in general. You can either eat Irish food. You can either go to an Irish restaurant or a Mexican restaurant of the same quality. I'll go Mexican. But is there, I don't know enough about Cinco de Mayo, is there a certain plate of food you're supposed to eat?
Not that I'm aware. Tamales are Christmas, and I don't know that there's one specific dish for Cinco de Mayo.
Well, because
in all my years here in Southern California, I've never heard like, oh no, you have to have enchiladas or anything like that.
Because corned beef and cabbage.
Not good.
That's absolutely wrong. Corned beef and cabbage is delicious.
No.
It's not terrible. It's very good.
How many days other than St. Patrick's Day do you go home and go, you know what I want to eat today? Corned beef and cabbage.
Only because I know that ingesting a lot of corned beef is unhealthy.
So you do it once a year.
I love eating corn. Are you trying to tell me about meats? I'm asking you.
I'm not telling you.
I love a nice meat.
Corned beef. How many times a year do you have it?
It's a health-based decision. I love steak.
No, it's not.
I've never seen you make any other health-based decision. How dare you come in here and attack me? I didn't sit down in this seat today to get the business from either one of you.
Are you sure?
Positive. And certainly I didn't sit here to be double-teamed in this manner. Listen, corned beef is delicious, period, and I don't need to defend that. Corned beef and pastrami, it's a little bit seasoned up version of corned beef. I love that.
We're not talking pastrami.
You're right. But I like it. And if you said the Mexican dish that on Cinco de Mayo is traditional is mole sauce, then give me the corned beef any day.
You know what?
Because mole is no good.
That's exactly what it is. I just looked it up.
Well, then right there.
Kidding.
So your premise that... All right,
I'm joking.
I agree Mexican food, but I don't agree with you that Mexican beer is better than Irish beer.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know. How does it work over there, Handsome? Aren't all the beers in one pot? Don't we make them UK beer? Can't we go with Scottish beer and English beer and Irish beer? I think that's fair.
What do you... You could do. I don't think anyone in Ireland would thank you for doing that.
Oh, really? No. Harp.
You know,
Harp is Irish.
Harp is Irish. Harp is brewed by Guinness.
Guinness, yeah. It's Guinness's lager.
Yeah.
Which is good.
What about Bass?
I like Harp.
Bass is not Irish.
That's English.
That's English.
I like what's Watney?
Smithwicks.
Smithwicks.
I think those are English as well.
Smithwicks is good.
I think Murphy's is a knockoff Guinness.
What about McEwen's? That's Scottish.
Yeah. McEwen's is Scottish.
McEwen's Scottish ale. Scotch ale or whatever it's called. Oh, that's divine.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we can take those all. So the Irish would not have that, though.
No.
They're shooting themselves in their foot because they may lose this voter's approval of their St. Patrick's holiday if they don't allow me to kiss in some of their
but
neighbors.
But based on your own thinking, you only need to drink this one day a year.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Yeah, you're right.
This is not 364 other days. This is just one day.
And that's the thing, is that you got to go out and you got to have a gimmick. You got to dye your beer green. You don't have to. But people do, and it's a big thing.
In America.
Excuse me. Yes, I'm talking about the American celebration of these holidays. Now,
college kids like there. that when it comes out, it still is green. I'm not charmed by that at all.
In fact, I'm unpleasant.
It's kind of repellent. All right, so beer and food. Music? What music do you want? What traditional music do you prefer? Irish?
Oh, that's fine.
Right?
Yeah, Dexy's Midnight Runners, yes.
I don't know if that counts as traditional. What about, is there a color or colors associated with Cinco de Mayo? St. Patrick's Day has its Kelly Green. You can besmirch that if you want.
I can, because there's three colors on that flag.
I do.
Ireland. And orange gets no dew.
Yeah, that's true. Orange does get the hi hat. On its own holiday.
It's funny because I traditionally wear orange on St. Patrick's Day because we're Protestant. And you'll get 1 out of 100 people understand what it is and they get upset.
All right. So your vote goes for
Cinco de Mayo.
Handsome Hank, how say you?
Just to be different, I'm going to say St. Patrick's Day.
It's a close call. Cinco de Mayo, I wonder if nationally Cinco de Mayo gets the attention, though. You know, I don't think it does probably.
No.
Only in Southern California.
Even then, I wasn't here this weekend, but traditionally, like, you see people, a bunch of green-clad, out-of-control drunks walking from bar to bar, you know, in all the beach towns or whatever. Cinco de Mayo, it just seems like another day a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you know what? We'll be at the taco shop anyways. Whether, you know, because it's one of those things, like Hank alluded to, is that you traditionally eat Mexican food a lot. You drink Mexican beers a lot, and you hang out in those places.
I go to Irish pubs a lot. I used to live in Tom Bergen's here in L.A. Anybody from L.A. knows I was there 4 or 5 nights a week faithfully with my old pal David Feeney, who now, by the way, I should give a shout-out because I get a lot of tweets about, where's David Feeney? Where's David Feeney? My old pal is now the showrunner, nothing less. He's now a titan in show business. He's now running New Girl.
He's running the New Girl.
Zoe Deschanel show. Yes, the hit Fox show. He's now the showrunner. This is a high-ranking position, executive producer of that sitcom. So kudos to him, and there's your update, everybody in the Feensters Union. You'll be pleased to hear about that.
What about a new Land of the Fox category or subject? Because we were talking about Zoe Deschanel recently. Actually, we were in New York for the draft. She's got a lot of... how would you say critics?
She does, and yet a lot of hipster fellows feel very fond of her.
No, like they go the other way. They don't like.
No,
Zoe
I know.
Deschanel.
I'm saying there are a lot of hipsters though who do fancy her. She's sort of like the indie girl, right? Isn't she considered the hot chick of indie people?
See, but a lot of people know because it seems like everybody else is going Hannah Simone, feeling like that's the hipster choice.
She
right
is
there.
In the new shaving ad. The new razor ad is one of the foxes who you want to please with the way you shave your hair.
Her and Kate Upton and, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we talked to Jake Johnson of, isn't that his name?
Jake Johnson.
Jake Johnson, the star of the show, who's Zoe Deschanel's love interest there.
Who is playing, who end up playing Dave Damashek in the movie of your life, right?
Oh, well, that's what you said, yeah.
I think it's
more likely George Clooney, but, I mean, that would be my choice. But, all right, well, let's...
Can we offer that up? Can we do a little...
Land of the
Zoe?
Fox Showdown, New Girl, in honor of David Feeney's new show, New Girl. What's the other girl's name? Hannah Simone. Or Zoe Deschanel. Who gets your vote there, Handsome Hank?
I'm afraid to say I've never watched the show, and I wouldn't know either the two of them if they were.
You don't know Zoe Deschanel? You don't know who she is?
I probably do, but I don't know who she, you know. I'll have seen her. I don't know what she looks like.
Hmm.
Sorry.
I'm going to go with... That's a tough one. I'm going to go Zooey Deschanel. Those eyes can't be beat.
Yep.
I'm going to go with her. How about you?
Same reasoning, yep.
Black Zooey tie. D. How say you?
Going to go with Zooey D, probably, because I didn't hear the other options, because I was busy answering the phone.
Hannah
Terrence,
Simone.
Terrence Newman's on the line.
Terrence Newman of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes, he
our
is.
Our old pal. What? Is that his voice right there? Terrence Newman?
Yeah, that's my excited. What's happening, fellas? That's my excited voice.
It goes up like 2-3 octaves when you're
yeah, you gotta you know you have to let people know when you're excited, so your voice obviously changes.
I got you. Hey, say hello to your old English pal here, Handsome Hank. It's Terrence Newman on the phone.
Hey, Terrence.
Hello, Chappie.
How are you doing, Chappie?
I'm good, and you?
Very well, thank you. Congratulations on going back to Cincinnati.
Thank you. I mean, it was a long and tedious process, but at the end of the day, it always felt good that, you know, you had, you know, two different people that wanted you. So it was a good thing to be reunited with these guys and try to build on what we did last year.
Well, and Terrence, when you visited us here last in Studio 66, we talked about that very thing. Me and Rank were pushing you to go to the Bengals
right. Because
we want you to, now listen, as an AFC North guy from Pittsburgh, I don't want the Bengals to win a Super Bowl, but I want you to have personal success. And so I said Bengals over Raiders, easy. Did that ultimately play a factor in your decision, which team you think stands to have a better 2013?
Well, you know, I remember we had a conversation last year and I offered some sideline passes and whatnot. So I figured that I might, you know, try to position that again and see if you take it and, you know, come down on the sideline, mm-hmm. on the Bengals sideline, since you're Steelers fan, to see what happens. But
I don't know if it's right. I just don't feel like it would be appropriate. I think I would be expatriated from the banks of the Three Rivers for all of time if I were seen publicly glad-handing with you.
I don't know. I mean, if they give you sideline passes over there, it would make sense. But if they didn't, and then you had them,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
when you're wrong,
that was a bad thing, you know?
You're not wrong. I mean, the Steelers haven't called me up and offered me anything. Where's my call, Troy Polamalu? I haven't gotten it. However, Terrence Newman has done that. And, as a matter of fact, if I can self-promote or jointly promote a little venture, Terrence Newman and I jumped into the sports car, mm-hmm. and we took a spin around the streets of Los Angeles. We had a gay old time, singing and everything else. And that will be there on NFL.com for your perusal, listener. Be on the lookout. Terrence Newman and Dave Damashek. The only debate is who should be the host, because Terrence Newman proves himself to be maybe the man who should be behind the wheel or riding shotgun,
at
least.
I think I still need some of your tutelage. There's a lot that I don't know yet, so, you know, I can admit that. And I think you should be the host, but I would be a good sidekick.
I got you.
It's not for long. I don't think that Dave would be it would be like one of those situations where you have an established veteran there and the new guy. It's only a matter of time before the new guy takes over in this case.
Hey, Batman had a very viable sidekick.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dick Grayson eventually does become Batman.
He does?
Yeah, so exactly. That's my point. Like, I've got to start somewhere, and I'm okay. I'm okay starting out as Robin.
Okay.
All right,
Terrence Newman, let's talk some actual pigskin right now. I don't know how much you've been keeping up, but I assume
you
know.
By the way, though, if he wants to make me, you know, that same offer, because I'm an actual free agent fan.
Oh, yeah.
That if I ever, you know, the Bengals could be certainly in the running, so I'll just throw that. I'll interject myself into that one.
Yeah, Rank is looking for an NFL team to support Terrence Newman. Do you want to try and sway him over to the Bengals way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that should be too hard to do. I mean, he's looking for a team, so I think we've got a pretty good one. Only time will tell. You know, everybody, you know, ranks the drafts and mm-hmm. the players picked up, but ultimately you don't really know exactly what you have until you put them in the situation to see exactly what they can do. So, you know, with that being said, we have a great deal of guys returning this year. And, you know, I think we're going to be, you know, pretty good.
What about, though, when you're out there, it's something you hear when you're watching football games on TV, but really, when you're out on the practice field, you match up against A.J. Green, and I'm sure you get a look at least at Jermaine Gresham. Now you have Tyler Eifert and Mohamed Sanu coming back after what was a promising rookie season. Does that make you better Because A.J. Green is, at worst, what, the second or third best wide receiver in the NFL? How much is it like, hey, Sunday's a day off for me because I'm usually practicing against A.J. Green?
It's more of a confidence thing where if you're going against one of the top three in the league on a consistent basis, then when you get to the games, then you're it's more relaxed as far as, all right, look, I've been against this guy, you know, every day for the last however many weeks, and now I go into a game and I've got a chance to go against one of the best. So now it's like, all right, let's see what this guy can do. You know, let's see what I can do. So it's more of a comfort thing and a confidence thing. Obviously, that definitely helps. You know, AJ, he's a guy who can do pretty much anything you ask him to do on the offensive side of the ball. And it's definitely a plus for the guys on, you know, our secondary room.
Well, before you came on here, we were in a heated discussion, and it's one that's, you know, it's very important and dear to our lives. Cinco de Mayo was on Sunday. Do you like St. Patrick's Day or Cinco de Mayo?
You can only celebrate one.
I've actually never really celebrated either. But, I'll probably go with Cinco de Mayo. I used to have a thing for Spanish women, so that went hands down.
That's the answer. That's the stuff we're looking for. See, Terrence Newman gets the one rule we have on the podcast. No jive.
Right.
No jive talk. So let's go to the other hot button issue of these times. What color has the most good food associated with it?
What color has the most good food associated?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, that's a tough one.
Yeah, you don't want to just spit an answer out. You got to think it through a little bit.
Yeah, we were able to talk it out because if you go through some of the major winners we were looking at, you know, Green has lettuce.
Now, Green has nothing. Green is not worth it.
Well, it was doing so well, but Brown has, like, steaks, and it has all sorts of good stuff.
Chocolates.
Gravy, chocolate. Red has red.
Red has marinara sauce. How about that? Ketchup.
But
what are you going to do without
really
those?
I don't know if you can really live off marinara sauce.
No, that's a fair point. You can't.
And apples and tomatoes.
Maybe. No. Or bacon.
Are meatballs considered red, though, if they're in the marinara
sauce? They're brown, aren't they?
I guess you're right.
Yeah, they're still brown. Mm-hmm. It's just covered in a red sauce. If you cut it open, I think it's still brown.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right. So, Terrence Newman. We've given you a little help.
With what's said, I would probably say brown. I mean, mm-hmm. You got steaks, you got potatoes,
burgers,
pork chops. Mm-hmm. I think there's more in the brown section than the green section.
That's absolutely right. And again, like I say, chocolate. You got chocolate pie, you got chocolate ice cream, you got chocolate mousse, you know? So that's that. All right, good answer on that one, Terrence Newman.
Let's switch gears a little bit.
All right.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
You remember we talked about Lindsay Lohan and Lindsay Vonn?
Sure.
Yes.
Who won that, by the way?
Lindsay Lohan, unfortunately.
What? That's a shocker.
Yeah. Well, we also included Lindsay Wagner, a.k.a. the Bionic Woman. She was a distant third, unfortunately. The younger palates had no taste for the Bionic Woman. But yeah, Lindsay Lohan. Yeah, she got kissed in, for better or worse. Hey, do you watch the show New Girl?
I don't.
Okay, well then we'll skip that one. We have a new one, Zooey Deschanel versus her co-star.
Eva Mendez or Eva Longoria.
Ooh, an Eva off.
We'll go Evas.
All right, Longoria and two completely different types of, well, they're, you know, both Latinas, but one cuts a, you know, sort of a full-figured figure, you
right.
know. Mendez is you know, seems like she's probably about 5'10", mm-hmm. kind of that model, bosomy, striking woman. Mm-hmm. Longoria, a wee lady, you know.
Right.
Sort of a more diminutive. Terrence Newman, why don't you start us off?
Well, I'm going to have to go with Mendez.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with Mendez.
Yeah, my initial gut reaction was Eva Mendez, and I have not changed. You know, if you think some of her better, she was in Training Day.
Right.
She was in The Other Guys. She's been in, you know, she's looked.
Six.
Yeah, she's, that's tough to beat. Yeah, I think Eva Mendez
She's in one picture, too, with Joaquin, not Noah, Joaquin Phoenix. That's who I'm thinking of. She's in one a racy picture there, and that would definitely tilt the people who are on the fence in her favor. All right, you know what? I think let's make it a clean sweep here, then. It's Mendez for me, too. Let's put that to a poll as well. Land of the Fox Showdown, proposed by Terrence Newman, the Eva off.
Hank, we need a question from you. What about an English lady? What about an English lady? What are two English ladies?
Handsome Hank, the commissioner called him or something. He ran out of here. He had better things to do than to sit here and kibitz with us.
For Hank.
I guess not, Lord. Terrence Newman. Yeah, it's a real slap in the face. Hey,
that was a little rude.
It was. I mean, he says hello.
He didn't say bye.
Exactly.
No, didn't even say cheers, mate.
And that was my excited voice.
That he left.
Yeah.
Day is ruined.
All right, Terrence Newman. So you're working out. How are the workouts going?
Workouts are going great. We just got on the field with the coaches last week, 2 days a week, doing our respective drills. You know, offense does their thing in the morning. We come in the afternoon and do our thing, and then we run right after and lift weights. So it's actually pretty cool that, we're still in the locker room. I think we've been done for probably 45 minutes. There's guys still, moping around in the locker room, just having conversations about, watching the drills on our iPad, and they're talking in there. So, people are excited around here.
And that matters, huh? Does that, because I talk to some guys who say chemistry is everything. Other guys say, let's not overrate it. What matters is who's got more talent. That's all that really matters. So that chemistry in the locker room does translate into victories.
I think so. If you look at any team in the NFL, teams obviously have talent. And, through studies that people do, mostly guys who are beat writers or, writers, sports writers or whatnot, they rank, teams versus talent. And if you look at some of the teams that they've got ranked higher than the others, some of those teams haven't won a whole lot of games in the last year, So talent doesn't necessarily equal wins. It's got to be talent who plays smart and they're cohesive. Mm-hmm. I think that's what wins football games. So with that being said, I think the fact that, there are guys still here hanging around, just talking, hanging out in the locker room. Some of these guys actually finished at 12, and there's still offensive guys in the locker room right now who are still here, That's just cool for me to see. To me, that's just pretty cool to see that these guys are hanging around, talking with everybody, having, a fun day. When he could be at home taking a nap, he's here, with his teammates. That's always good to see.
Should we poll the room and see which Eva they prefer?
That's a good idea.
That's part of the locker room because it was kind of loud. And some of the conversation, I didn't want it to get caught on the phone. So,
which side of conversation? The conversation in the locker room or the conversation here in the podcast?
Probably the locker room. I think this is made for radio and TV, but some of that probably is not made for radio and TV. So
I got you.
And I don't know if you guys have a censorship, so I just stepped out a little bit.
That's thoughtful of him, but I will say the next time you're on the practice field and AJ Green and your guys are mixing up, just casually ask him, like, hey, which Eva do you prefer, Eva Mendez, Eva Longoria?
And do the color thing, too. Do, like, which color has the most good food. Get the Cincinnati Bengals thoughts on that in general. Hey, Terrence Newman, as always, what a pleasure it is. I'll tell you what is made for TV, digital TV and broadcast TV, both the sports car. And Terrence Newman joins me. He rides shotgun, and we have a wonderful time, like I said, driving around the streets. Next time Terrence Newman's riding shotgun in the sports car, I promised him a piece of fish, and we're going to go and get it. We're going to go, maybe we'll just go get some brown food somewhere and see it.
Or we can just go, fishing for our fish.
Ooh.
Have a candid conversation. How about that?
I like the idea. You know what? Why do we have to be stuck with one mode of transportation in a car? Maybe we go out on a little rowboat, you and me.
Hey, I'm down. As long as you're doing the rowing, I'm cool.
Please, before the season gets underway, come out to the West Coast one more time and visit us in Studio 66, and we'll have our usual good times. In the meantime, though, congratulations to you, fella. Glad you landed in a good, certainly looks like a good situation there for 2013. And go get them.
I appreciate it. You guys are some swell fellows. So stay in touch, and we'll definitely try to make that happen. I mean, I've always had a good time talking to you guys and look forward to doing so in the future.
All right. And last thing, just tell Mike Brown or whoever else, change those uniforms already. That's the only thing. I don't want you winning a Super Bowl in those helmets with the stripes on them. That's all.
Hey, people fear tigers.
No, you put just write the word Bengals on there. Put a picture of a cat. The stripes are too much already.
Oh, come on. There's got to be worse uniforms.
No, I don't know if they're
well. Think they're bad.
There's
I
one.
I actually like them.
There's one in the Jacksonville, Florida area that gives those Bengals unis a run for the money. But I like the black and orange color scheme. All right, we'll leave it there, Terrence Newman. We'll pick that up when you visit us here in 66. But like I say, mazel tov to you, and we look forward to catching up soon.
All right, you guys keep it live in the studio and keep it warm for me.
All right. We've got to keep it live and warm.
Live and warm.
That's what we'll do. All right. Listen, that's interesting. See, I like the input. I like the player participation of him volunteering a good mind-bending question for us. Eva versus Eva.
Yes, that is the second rule. It's no jive, and then, you know, bring something.
He definitely did. He doesn't just show up and say, ask me questions. I'm a football prima donna. No, no, no. He's a man of the people, you understand.
Turned it on us.
Have fun on this thing. Right?
Oh, wait, he's still on the phone! He's still listening to it. All right, Terrence Newman, we wanted to talk about you. And good. What if one of us said something bad about you and you were still on the line? That would have been uncomfortable.
I wouldn't have said anything. I would have took it, and the next time we talked, I'd be like, hey, I realize I'm on the phone, right?
All right, Terrence Newman, we'll let you go now, man. Ready?
All right, you got to take it easy.
You hang up first.
All right. Bye.
I wouldn't say this to Terrence Newman's face, but enjoyable fellow.
Yes. It's a good thing that you have your standard that is to never compliment anyone.
Yes, sir.
And let them know about your compliment.
Right, yeah. I can't.
You don't
I
want them getting a big head.
Yes, hey, believe me, I'll compliment them.
I got it.
You know who I won't compliment? Black time.
How about Dan Hanzus? I'm going to criticize him quickly before we wrap the show up here. We have to get Hanzus in studio, though, to do this properly. But he does have, again, on NFL.com, on Around the League, he has posted his 1 through 32 running backs in the NFL. Adrian Peterson, number one. That one's hard to debate. At number two, he goes Marshawn Lynch. I'm not going all the way through this list, but I just want you to know. Marshawn Lynch, the second best running back in all the NFL. Controversial when you consider Arian Foster's out there. Mm-hmm. I happen to say Shady McCoy is the second best running back. Marshawn Lynch does benefit from running behind a dynamite offensive line there. But listen, he, as they say, is a beast. And the power running style plus the speed, he's got to be in your top five. Where it starts to get really bad is he goes Arian Foster 4. But he goes Doug Martin 5. Doug Martin has had like two good games in the NFL, which is fine. All right, small sample size.
He had a good rookie season.
But he's rated ahead of Jamal Charles, Frank Gore, and at number 9, Ray Rice. Number 9 for Ray Rice. He's right behind Doug Martin, who's barely been in the league. Alfred Morris, who, as far as I can recall, didn't catch more than 2 or 3 passes. Ray Rice, behind the Super Bowl champion, the guy who never has to leave the field because he can catch and block and do it all for the Baltimore Ravens. He's 9 behind those other guys. Loco, I also don't like. And then he has at number 12, Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles is the 12th best running back in the NFL.
Everybody knows this.
Stephen Ridley at 13, and then he goes C.J. Spiller at 14. So Stephen Ridley is better than C.J. Spiller. Here's the other one. He's been a guest, and I don't bring him up just because he's a pal of ours here on the DDFP. But at number 27, hanging around the likes of Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Sean Green, Steven Jackson. Possible future Hall of Famer, now running behind a good offensive line in Atlanta, could be the missing piece there. He's the 27th. He calls him a Jag, just another guy.
Jeez.
Steven Jackson. That is cockamamie nonsense. Black Tie, how say you? When are we getting Hanzus in here to confront him on this?
We actually might get him in here on Monday or maybe Tuesday and have a little video segment. Actually, not Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday, and have a little video segment, and you guys can react off this. And
I'd like to face him.
And face-to-face, guys.
I'd like him to face the music.
One man.
He thinks now that he's a celebrity with people recognizing him on the streets of New York City, which happened last week, he now thinks he can just mail it in.
I tried talking to him yesterday. It was all Hollywood.
Did he have his sunglasses on inside again? Because that's his new move, too. Rank, pick one. Well, I mean, there are many to choose from. Pick one of the most ridiculous things on Hanzus's list here.
Well, you already hit the Darren Sproles thing at number 12.
I like
Nick
also.
Fadden is number 20. I mean, I understand.
Ryan Matthews is ahead of Steven Jackson. Ryan Matthews.
Of course. Everybody knows this.
What? Well, I can't. All right. Listen, bottom line, we must get Hanzus on this podcast ASAP and have him face the music here. All right, we'll wrap it up. Next week, will Black Tie do a shout-out? Will Adam Rank choose a pro football team? Will Damashek vote for Mendez or Longoria? Tune in to the next Dave Damashek football program. That was my, like, soap opera tease thing. All right, like I say, RankNFL.com, making his pages as usual out
there. The summer of Rank is upon us.
He seeks a pro football team. If you're a fan out there and you want Rank on board your team, I don't know why you would. Drop him a line on Twitter, at Adam Rank. I got the new sports car coming up with Terrence Newman and maybe actually one with Michael Crabtree as well by the end of the week, so be on the lookout for those. And thanks to Terrence Newman, our pal. And we'll be back with another podcast later in the week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.